This message was recorded at Vision Baptist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia. It is our prayer that you'll be blessed by the preaching of God's Word.
Take it, go with me to Romans chapter 2, and we'll finish the chapter of Romans chapter 2 today. And you might write down somewhere, taking away our false security. Taking away our false security. And here's what is going on in Romans chapter 2. The Apostle Paul is saying to the Jews, to the Jewish nation, he is saying, hey guys, listen to me. You can't trust all of these things that you're currently trusting. You can't trust the fact that you're a Jew. You can't trust the fact that you know the law. You can't trust the fact that you've been circumcised. You've got to give up all of those things and realize only one you can trust is Jesus Christ. This passage is extremely applicable to us because you and I trust, well, we're a member of a church. And we've been baptized like circumcised. We're like a Jew. We're a member of a church like circumcised. We've been baptized. And boy, don't we know the Bible. We're a Bible studying people. And it's so easy to become very cocky in what you think you know and the fact that you're a member of a certain group or the fact that you have been baptized or have some externals and not put your trust in Jesus. And so by the end of this chapter, the Jews will be stripped down to nothing to realize it is Jesus and only Jesus. And that's where we all need to be. Read with me, if you would, Romans chapter 2, verses 17 down to the end of the chapter. If you would, Romans 2, 17. Behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law and makest thy boast of God and knowest his will and approvest the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law. Thou art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore that which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through the breaking of the law, dishonorest thou God? Verse 24, super strong, underline it. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. For the name of God is blasphemed through the Gentiles. People make fun of God because of you, Jews. As it is written, verse 25, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for righteous, for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? For he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, if you would. Father, I pray that tonight you would work, or this morning you'd work in our lives. I pray that your name would be honored and glorified. God, I pray that you would leave us this morning trusting you and only you, and trusting the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. I pray, God, that you would help us learn today, as born-again people, that we are trusting you. I pray you'd help us learn how we might take your word and show others how that they might know Jesus as their Savior. And I pray, God, for those that might not know you this morning, that today they would be humbled at your feet to realize that you are the only way for us to be saved. And I'll give you great praise and great honor and great glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The first thing you might want to write down somewhere is salvation is more than knowing something. Salvation's more than knowing something. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 2, verse 17, where we just read, the Bible says, behold, thou art called a Jew and restest in the law. You rest in the law and you make your boast of God. Verse 18, you know his will. You even know how to choose what's right, and you're instructed in the law. In verse 19, and you're confident, that you are a guide to the blind and a light to those guys in darkness. And you're, verse 20, sure that you're an instructor of foolishness and a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and the truth in the law. The Jews rested in one thing. They knew the law. They had the law. They knew what it said. They knew God's will. They had been taught and approved of God and what it said. They taught everybody else the law. They felt like they had the law, and they were teaching others that didn't have the law. They were instructors. They were confident in what they had. The problem is knowing and not doing. You know, you can know a whole lot of things. You can have a lot of head knowledge about Christ and no heart knowledge about Christ. You can know a lot of Bible and not be born again. They taught others, but they didn't live up to their own knowledge. Look in Romans 2:13, right there in front of you. Romans 2:13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law. It wasn't that you knew what the Bible said. It was, hey, I know what it says, and I'll do that. It wasn't that you knew what the Old Testament said. It was that you would do it. They taught everybody else, but they didn't do it themselves. In verse 21, he said, you teach it, but do you do it? You tell them not to commit adultery, but do you commit adultery? He said, hey, you claim to have the law and have the word of God, but I question whether or not you are putting any of it into practice. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 17, he said, you brag about knowing God, but you're the ones who dishonor God. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 17. Thou art called a Jew and restest in the law. Now look at and makest thy boast of God. Look at verse 23. Thou that makest thy boast of the law and through the breaking of the law dishonorest thou God. You say you know the law. You say you know God. But are you dishonoring God by saying one thing and doing another? Verse 24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. So here's just a little thing to start off. I'm going to give you five things that you might write down today. And the first three are the things that he's going to show us our weaknesses, and then we'll head towards what we're supposed to do. And the first thing I want you to look at is, hey, knowing the Bible doesn't mean you're necessarily saved. You know, there have been a lot of people saying the Bible for a long time. They got a head full of Bible. And he said, hey, you might know the Bible, but you haven't applied the Bible. You might know that Jesus is Lord, but you haven't made him Lord. You might know that Jesus died on the cross and paid your sin debt, but you've not humbled yourself and came to him to be saved. So he says to them, are you judging others and you're not able to judge yourselves? Are you teaching others and you're not able to teach yourselves? You can't plead ignorance because you've already bragged about knowing. I would just say to you this morning, you know, I've grown up in the Southeast, and I have grown up, I've spent my life, well, except as a missionary, I've spent my life in the Southeast, and if anybody thinks we know the Bible, it's us. We're part of the Bible Belt. We're the buckle on the Bible Belt. But if we know the things of God, we would brag about, hey, we know. In fact, in our church, everybody can spout off Bible. We've memorized Bible and we've learned Bible. And so the Jews, they knew the law. They memorized the law. They knew all about the law, but they did not know Jesus Christ. They didn't understand what the law was about. And so today I would challenge you to look at yourself and say, have I learned all the facts about Jesus? Have I memorized all the books of the Bible? Can I quote Bible verses? But have I come to a place in my life to realize it's not about what I know, it's about who I know. It's not about the fact that I've learned a lot of Bible stories. Well, in our churches even, we are good at telling everybody all the Bible stories and filling up with a bunch of Bible knowledge, but maybe that we've never come to a place in our life where we repented of our sin and trusted Jesus Christ. And that's what he says to these Jews. Boy, you're Jews, and you are bragging about one major thing. You have the law, and you do have the law. They wrote the Old Testament. God used Jews to write the Old Testament. God used Jews all the way right now in Romans. He's still using them. But they are resting in the wrong thing. It is not about what you know. It's not about how much law you've learned. And fact is, the law you've learned, if anything, is going to only condemn you more. It's only going to condemn you more. Do you realize every time you come to church and all the more Bible you learn and all we go through verse after verse, that's really not going to help you unless you apply it to your heart and say, this is not about knowing. It's not about knowing. It's about living. The Bible says in James chapter 3 and verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Don't a lot of you become teachers. Don't a lot of you become leaders. Because if you are a Bible knower and a Bible teacher, you can expect stronger judgment. You can expect God to say, you knew, and that's it. The servant who knew gets more stripes when he gets beaten. He gets beaten because he knew more. So I will take you to the second one. But I would challenge you this morning to do this. I grew up, and by the way, can I just say, I preached in jail. And I've been standing outside a jail cell, and guys are standing inside there, and I'm preaching to them, and I've had them say to me, I know all those verses. I know all those verses. I used to be a deacon. I used to be a Sunday school teacher. And I'm like, well, what in the world are you doing back behind there? But it never affected their life. They know, but they never affected. They might have memorized the Ten Commandments, but they never affected their life. They might have gone to Sunday school. They might know the books of the Bible, and they may be able to argue theology with you. But hey, Mr. Jew, if you know and you don't follow through, then it will be more condemnation. Look at the second one. The second one is salvation's more than being a member. Salvation's more than being a member. In Romans chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible said, Thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God. You know what they were doing? They were saying, hey, we're Jews. We are the chosen people. We're the chosen people. In verse 19, they were confident and they taught everybody and they led everybody, and they thought their membership in the nation of Israel, they thought their being a part of the nation of Israel would take them to God. They felt like they were the chosen, the Jewish nation, the circumcision, and therefore God was pleased with them. But you can't expect to be born into a group and raised in a group and that to be your inward reality. You cannot expect to be born in a group and raised in a group and expect that to be your inward reality. Can I say that's why we lose our children? Because we bring them to church and we teach them all the minimal stuff, and they learn enough Bible just to be dangerous, and they don't know Jesus, and we get them into the membership of the church. We get their name on the roll of the church, but nothing ever happened inside. And they never were born again. The Apostle Paul was born in that group and raised in that group, but he realized that being born a Jew wasn't enough. Look at with me, if you would, at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4. The first thing is, knowledge is not enough. Knowing is not enough. The second thing is, being a member is not enough. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 4, Paul said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said, if you think that you were born a Jew and you think you have a right to brag, I'll just go ahead and tell you I got more reasons to brag than any of you guys. In verse 5, he said, I was circumcised on the eighth day, exactly like I was supposed to. I'm of the stock of Israel. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and as such in the law, a Pharisee. I'm in the best group of all the groups. I'm like a Hebrew of the, I'm an American of an American. Like a talk show host says, you're a great American. Well, this guy was a great American of the Americans. He was way up there. And he said, and by the way, I'm a Pharisee. Verse 6, he says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. Paul said, hey, you want to talk? Before I got saved, I was a very good guy. I was so good that if you'd have pulled out the Ten Commandments and laid them down there, I would have been blameless. Didn't break any rules, kept all the rules, kept all the Pharisee rules. I was a good man. Look at verse 7, Philippians 3, 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them as dung, but dung that I may win Christ. Paul said, I look at everything. I look at where I was born. I look at my family. I look at the way I was raised. I look at the nation I'm from. And I looked at all of that and I realized, hey, it's a waste. I look at how I've followed all the rules and I've done everything I ought to do. And I found out it's Jesus, and it's only Jesus. Verse 9 is a verse that ought to become very real to you. Look at chapter 3, verse 9. Philippians 3 and verse 9. Paul said, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul said, you know what? I was so good. I was blameless. I persecuted the church. I kept all the rules. I was born right, circumcised right, raised right. You want to talk about, I'm a Jew of the Jews. I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I'm a Pharisee. And I found out something. My righteousness doesn't measure up. I'm never good enough. And even though I was born right and raised right, and even though I was a member of the greatest group on the planet of the earth, and I was one of the chosen people, I figured out it wasn't enough. I needed the righteousness of Christ. Do you know what ends up happening in our society? In fact, the question is, have you joined the church? The question is, have you joined the church? I mean, that's the question. Have you joined the church? Do you go to church? Are you part of the church? And the truth is, Paul would say, yeah, well, there's a whole lot of church people going to go to hell. Paul would say there's a whole lot of church people going to go to hell. A whole lot of people that know the Bible and go to church are going to go to hell. You can't rest in those things. Paul said, hey, I had all of it. And I could have stacked it up with any of you guys. And I could have had a competition with any of you guys. But I knew I didn't make it. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. Romans chapter 10 and verse 1. We're headed towards that passage as we go through Romans. The Jews had a zeal for God, but it wasn't according to knowledge. The Jews were the group, and the Jews had the book, but the Jews were serving God, but it wasn't according to the book, even though they had the book. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God, to God, for Israel, is that they might be saved. God, I want you to save the Israelites. Verse 2, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Would you underline that in your Bible? Not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Would you underline in verse 3, establish their own righteousness? Would you look this way just a second? Here's what he was saying. He said, hey, you know all the rules. You know what the Bible says. You got the law memorized. You're a teacher of the law. And you explain the law to everybody. Boy, you're a Bible scholar. You're a Bible teaching, a Bible preaching machine. And you're a member of the church. And he said that what you want to go around and do is say, look, not, watch this. I'm a good guy. I am blameless. I was born right, raised right, know the book. And I have all these credentials to my name. I want to establish my righteousness. I want to establish my righteousness. The Old Testament Jews used the law and the rules as a way to measure themselves. They use the charts a way to say, I am exactly where I ought to be. I'm at the exact growth rate. I ought to be on the growth percentile chart. I have everything I ought to have. When you check me out, I measure up. I weigh the right thing. I'm the right height. I'm the right size. Everything about me is right. See, look at the rules. And Paul's going to say to them, did you know that God never wrote the Old Testament so you could go around bragging to each other? And they walk in the room. Can you just hear Paul before he gets saved in Philippians 3? Did you hear what he said? They're all sitting around talking, and one of them says, yeah, I really believe I'll get to heaven. Really do? Sure I do. I really believe I will. How are you going to get to heaven? Psh, man, I'm a good guy. I got it all together. I've been doing the right stuff, going to the right places, a member of the right group. And Paul said, look, buddy, if you want to talk about what you got, let me just say, I can say a whole lot better stuff than you can. I was born in the right group. I was circumcised on the right day. I was raised the right way. And everything has been wonderful in my life. And I figured out something. It was worthless. I want you to look, if you would, at Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. Romans chapter 10 and verse 4. This is where he's leading us. It's not about knowing the law. And it's not about being a member of the group. It's about realizing that Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Look at verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. You know what he was saying? Why do you think God gave the law? Would you look this way just a second? What Romans is all about is to say this. You have sinned. You are a failure. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. In every epoch of time, in every dispensation, as the Lord has worked in our lives, he has shown us, man, you failed in the garden. You failed when there wasn't any law and you were out of the garden. You failed. And by Genesis chapter 6, you're already bad mess up again. And then I bring in the Jewish nation and you fail there. And then I bring in the law and you fail there. And then I bring in grace and you fail there. Everything that ever happens, you are just a bunch of failures. That's the whole point of the law. God wants to bring us to our knees. God wants to bring us to a place when we say, I am an utter and an abject failure. I have blown it with my life and I need Jesus and what he did on the cross of Calvary. For the Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. It's not about your bragging rights. You have none. Membership or agreement with a group, their doctrine, etc., is not salvation. You should not rest in your church membership. You might not know this. You might not have had to do this. But when you preach funerals, it is always funny. The first thing they want to tell you is what church they were a member of. They come and say, now, Mom and Dad, I know she didn't go to church. I know she didn't go to church. I know she lived a wild and reprobate life. They don't say those things. They don't say that. But you know it. And everybody else knows it. And then they come and they say, now, she's a member of this church. If you were to call the pastor, you'd say, I never met her. I remember I was out knocking on doors in Cartersville one day, and I walked up to a lady and at her house, me and my partners knocking on doors. I walked up to her and I said, hey, just wanted to come by and talk to you. You know, if you die today, you go to heaven. We were talking. She said, I'm saved. I'm saved. Remember the church. I said, really? Now, I was pastor of Liberty Baptist Church. I started that church from scratch. I knew everybody who went to that church. It never got large. And I knew everybody who went to that church. And so she said, I'm a member of Liberty Baptist Church. I said, really? I said, which one? She said, the one on Grassdale Road. And I said, really? Well, who's the pastor? And she can't think of his name right now. And I said, well, I am the pastor there. And she said, well, I went before you got there. Isn't that what we do? Rest on church membership. You can't count on your Bible knowledge, and you can't count on your church membership. He is taking away our false security. He is saying, don't trust what you know. Don't trust what you're a member of. Third thing, salvation is not about outward conformity. Outward conformity. Look at verse 25. For circumcision verily profiteth, but if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now watch this. They thought that they were circumcised. Circumcision was a mark of the covenant in the Old Testament. And so since their mom and daddy had operated on them when they were little boys at the age of eight days old, their mom and daddy had worked on them, they would walk around and say, hey, I'm circumcised. I'm a part of the circumcision. I am a part of the chosen group. I know things and I have the mark on me that I belong to God. And Paul said, well, let me explain to you. Look at verse 25. I'm going to read this in Tennessee Hillbilly with you. Here comes Tennessee Hillbilly version of verse 25. It says, your circumcision ain't worth a stink if you don't keep the law. But if you be a breaker of the law, your circumcision is the same as being not circumcised. Verse 26. If you're an uncircumcised guy and you keep the law, won't his uncircumcision be like circumcision? Won't circumcision, which is by nature of it, fulfill the law, judge you? The guy that was circumcised is going to judge you. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. It doesn't make you a Jew because you've been cut on. It's not about you getting cut in the flesh. It's one who is, verse 29, inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. The circumcision should have been simply an external that showed what was a true internal. But it had degenerated into simply an external. What happened to him on the outside should have been revealing what was on the inside, but it had only become something on the outside. Now watch this. If anybody's groups like this, it's us. We tend to think we don't go where they go. We don't do what they do. We're better than they are. And we got this whole list of things on the outside. And so since we don't do what they do and we're not like they are, then we must be saved. And he's saying this. He's saying, just because you've been circumcised doesn't mean anything. Just because you do what's external. Being circumcised meant nothing if you didn't keep the law. God was not looking for outward conformity, but inward reality. I spent many years of my life telling everybody to straighten up the outside. And I'd tell everybody, fix this on the outside. And we preached that, and that was so important. But the truth of the matter is, it wasn't important, because you can fix the outside all you want. But you could be like a Pharisee with all the outside fixed and be full of dead men's bones on the inside. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 7, if you recall, Samuel goes and he's looking for the king. And he's going to anoint David as king that day. And as everybody comes in, he's looking. And he said, man, that's a good looking guy. And he's tall. And he looks like the kind of guy that ought to be the king of Israel. And the God of heaven says to him, the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but man looks on the heart. Circumcision minus obedience equals uncircumcision. Having the mark without carrying through in your life means the same as not being there. Uncircumcision plus obedience equals circumcision. If you go out and start talking to people, you know this, you've done it. First thing they're going to say is, I'm a member of the church. You say, well, I'm glad you are. Do you know if you died, you go to heaven? Well, I was baptized on such and such a day. The first thing is my membership. The second thing is my baptism. And that's a good Southern thing. Isn't it the truth? Is that right or not? Amen? That's the way they're going to talk to you. And here's what Paul was saying. You can't rely on your baptism. By the way, you can't rely on your separation, your convictions, or your morality. You must rely on Jesus. so far. He has knocked down three things that the Jews were relying on. The Jews bragged about, we're a people of the book. The Jews bragged about, we're Jews. We're the people of God. We're the chosen ones. And the Jews bragged about, we're the circumcised. And he said, you might have the book, but you don't obey the book. And you might be Jews, but just because you're a Jew on the outside and you got the right skin color and you speak the right language don't mean you're on the inside. And then they said, well, we're circumcised. He said, you might have the outside marks, but you don't have the inside marks. So that leads us to the fourth thing I wish you'd write down. Salvation is about realizing your sinful, lost condition. Salvation is about realizing your sinful, lost condition. In Galatians 3:22, the Bible says, Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The Scripture has concluded all under sin. The goal of the passage is to strip away any confidence in anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ. It's to strip away any confidence in anybody or anything else other than Jesus Christ. You know the Bible, but you don't obey it. You've been physically circumcised, but not in your heart. You're a Jew and a member, but just being a Jew doesn't save you. Until you get to the point of helplessness, you will not be ready to trust Christ and what he did on the cross of Calvary. Romans 2 is saying to this, it's body slamming them. The Jew is saying, I don't really need Jesus. You got to understand, I know the law. And so he takes him and he slams on the ground and says, you may know the law and you may teach everybody the law, but I'll just be honest, you don't obey the law. You tell everybody not to commit adultery, but you do. And he just nails them. And so they say, all right, second chance. Give me a second chance. I've been circumcised. And he slams them down and says, you might be circumcised, but that's exterior. It's not interior. There's no change in your life. You got all the externals, but none of the internals. They said, well, I'm a Jew. I'm a member of the chosen race. And he said, no. Where you're born and where you're raised and what group you're a member of doesn't save you. This morning, for all of us, I know that 99% of you are born again. But you know what? Even you got to understand something. Your salvation had nothing to do with how much you know. And your salvation had nothing to do with you being a member of a group or you being baptized or any other religious thing. It has nothing to do with I have done all these sacraments. It has nothing to do with I've done all these ordinances. It has nothing to do with I know all these verses of Scripture. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that you come to a point in your life one day when you realize I am utterly and totally lost. And if he doesn't save me, I can't be saved. It is really hard on us to accept this because we don't need that much help. But that's what he's telling us. Last thing I want to show you. Salvation is a work that God does in us. Look, if you would, at Romans chapter 10 again, where we went a while ago. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, go about trying to establish their own righteousness, but have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. God must get us to a point where we can see that we can't save ourselves. Only Jesus can. Being religious and sincere is not the answer. Only Jesus is the answer. Only Jesus is the answer. This will come up in a couple of weeks, but would you go with me right now to Romans chapter 3, just one page over. Look at this. He's kind of ending this whole passage, kind of ending this whole thing of you're a sinner. And he's coming down to the close of it. And in Romans chapter 23, verse 23, he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus. I want you to underline this. Justified freely by his grace. Would you look this way just a second as we keep reading? Watch this. You know what he's saying is this. You get saved freely by grace. It's, in other words, you get saved by something you don't deserve. You get saved by something you don't earn. You get saved by God doing something in your life, not you doing something in your life. It's not what I learned. I learned 942 verses. I can quote the whole Old Testament. I'm a member of the Jewish nation. I was born right and raised right, member of the church ever since I was 6 years old. I've been a member of the church and I've been baptized. I've been baptized and I'm okay. He said, no, it's not about what you do. You get justified freely. You get justified without it costing you anything and it costing Jesus everything. It's the redemption that's found in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, Romans 3:25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation, a payment for our sin through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Jesus sent his son to pay the sin debt. Verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that which believeth in Christ, in Jesus. I'm going to read the next verse in a second, but do you understand what happened? He said, if I brought you up to the front here and I set you down and you said to me, I'm a member of the Jewish nation, I've been baptized and I know the law. He would say, you might be a Jew, but you don't act like one. You might know the law, but you don't live the law. You might have the marks, but you don't have the marks on the inside of you. You're not doing very good. Fact is, if you've done right 99% of the time and you sin one time, you're messed up. You can't make up for it. And the God of heaven says, I will judge your sin. And the God of heaven says, I have a way to judge your sin. I will take your sin and I'll place it on Jesus, and Jesus will pay your sin debt. And that way I can be just as I judge your sin, and I can justify you. And so we come to him humbly. We come to him as nothing. We come to him as nobody, saying, I can't believe you saved me. I can't believe you love me. I can't believe you're such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. I can only say thank you because you're so good to me. Look at verse 27. He says, so now where can you brag? Verse 27, where's boasting then? Because you see, it used to be they walked around the church going, hey, I never smoked, cussed, drank, danced, and went them and did. I never committed adultery. Hey, I'm a good guy. Hey, I was born on the right day, circumcised on the right day, member of the right group, memorized more verses. Man, I am somebody. And then verse 27, the Apostle Paul, Holy Spirit says, okay, now that you figure this out, you can't save yourself, only Jesus saves. Now what are you going to do, any bragging? Because all you're left to say is this, I stink, I stunk, and I will continue to stink if it weren't for Jesus who died for me and paid my sin debt. Verse 27, where is boasting then? It's excluded. Well, what law got rid of it? Works? No, it wasn't. You couldn't brag because of the works, because if you kept working, you'd be able to brag. I mean, I'd like to say, hey, y'all want to start bragging? I've been a missionary 20 years. Been a pastor and a missionary now, like 40 years. Whoa, good stuff. Hey, started a bunch of churches. Whoa, good stuff. And God looks down and says, it still stinks. Your righteousness is as filthy rags. And if it weren't for what Jesus did on the cross, Austin, you'd go to hell. No boasting, because there's a law of faith. Verse 28. This is your verse. Verse 28, if you would. The Bible says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without doing any rule keeping. Man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, without doing any rule keeping. God striking us down, making us nothing so we can realize he's everything. God is showing the Jew and the Gentile that only Jesus saves. Only Jesus saves. He strikes at the very root of all that they have believed, and he strikes at the very root of their pride. You know, the church is a congregation of saved people, of redeemed people, of saints. But every one of us that got to be saved or redeemed or a saint, we got here purely by God's goodness. We didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. There is nothing good about us except him. And it's not because I happen to join a Baptist church, because I'm telling you, hell's going to be full of Baptists. Hell's going to be full of independent, fundamental Baptists. It will be, because it's not about what group you're a member of. Hell's going to be full of a lot of people that got baptized. You know, Betty was christened when she was born, and sprinkled when she was 12, and finally got saved and baptized. But there'll be a lot of people that got sprinkled and christened and baptized, and they'll still go to hell. Because it's not about what you did externally. It's not about what you did externally. It's not about what you did externally. It's not about how much you know. You can know all the things about the Bible. It's not about that. He strikes at our pride. Because, see, to be saved, you have to humble yourself. And if you're in this group and you're really saved, you know this. You came humbled, and true salvation will keep you humble. Because you'll realize, it's not me. It's him. This morning I ask you a question. Are you trusting in any of the wrong things? Are you having anything that gives you false security? If you were to say to me, if I said to you, how do you know you're saved? Would you say to me, well, I've been baptized? I hope you understand now, that doesn't cut it. If I were to go to you and say, do you know you're saved? And you'd say, I'm a member of the church. Hope you know that doesn't cut it. I hope if you're here and I said, do you know you're saved? And you were to say, well, I know a whole lot of Bible verses. You realize that doesn't cut it. All that cuts is this: I sinned against a holy God, and a holy God without any goodness on my part paid my sin debt. He saved me by His grace, and I thank Him. All I did was receive a free gift. He offered a free gift, and I took it. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you're not saved, man, I hope today you'll be saved. And if you are saved, I hope you'll walk out here with a new honor and respect for the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know that you're saved because of His goodness. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, I love You. Thank You for the chance to serve You. Thank You for the chance to have Your word. And I pray, God, that You'd help strip away anything that gives us false security today. Help us not to trust our church membership, our baptism, or our Bible knowledge. Help us not to believe in anything that we've done, but all that You've done. God, help Christians today to be sure of their salvation because they know of You and what You did. And it's not about them. It's about how good You are. I pray, God, that Your name would be glorified. I pray that Christians could even use these verses to help other people learn that it's all about You.
You have been listening to Austin Gardner, pastor of Vision Baptist Church. For contact information, location, service times, or more audio and video recordings, log on to www.visionbaptist.com.